Shabbat Shalom and Happy Feast of Tabernacles. Happy Feast of Tabernacles to everyone out there. And I hope you guys could see me streaming also. Let's see.
Yeah, I already did that. It didn't work.
Oh, that's too... Oh, that's the problem. That would be the problem. How about now? Well, we're at the Feast of Tabernacles, and we're a little moist out here in Tennessee. Okay, we're ready to blow the trumpet, and we'll start the study. So go right ahead, blow the trumpet, and I will put the study up. Thank you. Oh, you can't do it until I put the study up. Okay. Go right ahead. Shabbat Shalom. Yeah, we're missing Zach here, actually blowing his shofar. Well, anyway, we're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal HaBem Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, and I'm very happy to be here tonight. This is the start of the Feast of Tabernacles, Chag HaSukkot, and it's also the start of the Feast of Ingathering, Chag HaAsuf, and it's the Sabbath. So, without any further ado, would you mind standing? We'll ask God to bless and anoint today, this evening. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, we thank and praise you first, Lord and God, for forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Messiah. We just thank you, Lord and God, that you're a God that's true and faithful and you never fail. Bless this evening. Bless this Feast of Tabernacles, Lord and God, that we can't wait to tabernacle with you throughout eternity. But fill us with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the fear of God. I thank God for the fear of the Lord that makes us depart from evil. And we just love obeying your commandments and doing them, Lord and God. Bless everyone here. Bless everyone on the internet. Bless everyone around the world that's keeping your holy day. Lord, and we know there's so much confusion out there, Lord and God. We pray you'll take away anything that's corrupt out of our hearts, minds, and souls. Fill us only with the truth. That's all we desire, Father. Lord, we know we don't know everything, but we know that you could reveal to us, like you always do, depths in God and revelations of your word. And we thank and praise you, Lord and God, for things you inform us of. Bless and anoint this feast in Yeshua's name, one of the three feasts of God. And I thank God we could be here. Send down healing upon everyone, strength, enthusiasm, zeal. Give us all, Lord and God, more power in God. And I thank God for being aware of every one of us and knowing that you knew that we'd be here this evening, Lord and God, lifting up your holy name in the name of Yeshua. Amen. God bless everyone. Well, This is the feast at the year's end. It's the meaning the last harvest of the year, and just by saying that, you know it's not New Year as Judaism is telling everybody, and some messianics are still saying Happy New Year. Anyway, that verse is found in Exodus chapter 34, verse 22. It's the feast. There's the feast and the feast of harvest, and the feast of ingathering we're talking about. Feast of weeks, you all know what that is, right? And the feast of first fruits. And then we have the Feast of Ingathering, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, at the year's end. And it doesn't mean it's the end of the year. It means it's the year's end of the harvest. It's the end of the harvest. This is the last harvest of the year. Of course, today is still, what's the date today? Today's the 10th? Yeah, today is October 10th, 2014. And this is just the evening of the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles. It also, of course, tomorrow on the 11th, Feast of Tabernacles will be in full swing when we set up our tabernacle on the, of course, the 11th of October, which is really the 15th of Ha'etanim. So, where did I get Ha'etanim from? Most people are not familiar with that. It's in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 2, and it's Ha'etanim. There it is right there. It's, and if you read Hebrew, it's very interesting. It's the Ha is the definite article. We have the Aleph and the Tav and the Neem, which is a plural of Itan, which means perpetual, ever-flowing. Am I speaking too fast? Yeah, I thought so. Well, I was actually speaking a little bit too slow, but maybe I better slow down. Okay. I see everybody looking at me like, we're not in New York. I forgot. Okay. But Aleph and Tav is the first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And that's what they look like right there. You see that little red right there? For people that want to learn Hebrew, I wish there was a group here. We'd be studying Hebrew. But anyway, there it is right there. Ha'etanim always has the definite article in it. And it means the permanent brooks. This eighth anime corresponds obviously to our September and October of Pope Gregory. And there's the etan, which is perpetual, constant, perennial, ever-flowing. You know, that means all the, it's forever. And when you put it all together, you see God is the first and the last forever. He's the living waters that ever flow. And his blood is plenteous to anyone who, to whosoever will call upon him. But it's been erased because Judaism's calling it Tishrei, and the rest of the world's calling it, over here, calling it October. October means eight, and it's really the tenth month right now. But it's really only the seventh month of God, so it's very confusing. Did you catch what I just said? Okay. Most people never heard of Ha'etanim, right? And there's the verse right there, and there it is in Hebrew. If you read Hebrew, it says, Be Yareach Ha'etanim B'chag Hu HaChodesh HaShevi'i. So anyone that reads Hebrew, right off the bat, I mean, you should know it's not New Year. It says it's the seventh month. I have no idea how they just follow those rabbi guys that are just leading them astray. Anyway, this is the start of, this feast has two names, as I told you. It's the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Ingathering, because it's the last gathering of the last harvest, right? Very good. And we go to Leviticus 23, if you want to follow along or read with me. Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning what? The feast of Jehovah, or Yehovah in Hebrew, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feasts. These are the feasts of Yah, you know, and most people never heard of that. Because ask anyone, I mean, once you leave this building here, most people never heard of the feast of God, huh? And then God goes right into the Sabbath. Isn't that just like him? It says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It's a Sabbath of Jehovah in all your dwellings. And that seems to be one of the breakers with most people, because their dwellings are not holy. In other words, there's something unclean in it. And even today, some people don't realize having unclean animals in your home is unclean. There's nothing wrong with unclean animals. I love them, actually, just that they're not supposed to be in your house. Plus, they don't want to be in your house either, if they could speak. But these are the Feast of Jehovah, even Holy Convocations. Holy Convocations, a Mikra Kodesh. It's a public meeting, a sacred assembly. So if you know of a congregation, you probably should be there in person, you know, because it's a holy convocation. It's a public meeting, you know. And why wouldn't you want to be with your brothers and sisters? You know what I mean? Like, it's a time to get together. And these are the feasts of Jehovah, even holy convocations. And we're proclaiming them in their seasons. We're just not doing them when we feel like, right? We have Sister Yisrella here visiting us from California. And she looks like she's getting rejuvenated, I hope. And we had fun yesterday. And I'm sure you had fun today, actually. So this feast, we don't just do it when we feel like it, but it's the 15th day of the seventh month when you have gathered in the fruit of the land. Ye shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. So the feast is actually 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day is a Sabbath. Okay? This year, we thought we were going to have double Sabbaths, but they ended up on the actual Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath. So there's no extra this year. But the first and the eighth day are still Sabbaths. And you shall take unto you on the first day. Here's what we're going to do tomorrow, the first day, the daytime hours, right? This is what it says, and this is the only time you can do this kind of work, when God tells you what to do. You shall take on you the first day boughs of goodly trees, that means any kind of tree, that willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before Yehovah your God 7 days. Oh, excuse me, boughs of good trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook. That basically means any kind of branch. No, nothing in particular. I know Judaism is going bananas in the last few days about the lulav and all that stuff, and ridiculous. But anyway, we'll talk about that a little later, because you look like you forgot what that was. And I read, and you shall rejoice. Okay. It says, and you shall rejoice before Jehovah your God 7 days. I read that. You must listen a little closer. And you shall keep it a feast unto Jehovah 7 days in the year. So in the year, we're going to be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, and then on the eighth day, we're going to have a holy convocation. And guess what? It's a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. And we do it in the seventh month. We're not doing it in New Year, right? And you shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelite born shall dwell in booths. And that might be you might go, well, I'm not from Israel. I'm not an Israelite born. Well, if you're born again, you're born into the Israel of God. So you are elected to build yourself a booth and understand why you're doing it. And don't worry about what kind of wood or what kind of structure or how big it is or how high it is or if there's a hole on the top of it or none of that stuff. We'll talk about that a little later, you know, but why are you doing it and why are you putting branches on it anyway? Here's the reason why we're doing it, in case somebody asked you, that your generations, in other words, anybody in your generation may know that God made your ancestors, the children of Israel, to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. He says, I am Yehovah, your God. And Moses, he just declared unto the children of Israel the feast of Jehovah. And I bet he did. Very frightening thing. And this is why we feel Messiah might come back in the last ingathering. We feel Messiah might come back at this time in the seventh month, in the last harvest, because he fulfilled all the spring feasts right on the money. He did it. If we go to the book of Numbers, which tomorrow, when we show up at 2 o'clock, Lord willing, I'll read all that to you, and there's so much information in that and so much numerical numbers that match and numbers that are divisible by 7 tomorrow. For people that love these kind of studies, you'll find it very interesting. But Numbers 29:12 says, on the 15th day of the seventh month, ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no civil work. That means melechet avodah. And ye shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. On the eighth day, ye shall have a solemn assembly. This is verse 35. And we're not going to do any kind of work. That means domestic or public. That means total focusing on God, right? It doesn't mean go to bed and sleep and pass out. It means wake up, be strong, and snap out of it. So Exodus 34:22 says, and thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, the first fruits of the wheat harvest. Now we had the barley harvest, remember? Now this is the wheat harvest. And the feast of ingathering at the year's end, it says, we've had the barley harvest, we had the wheat harvest and the feast of weeks, and now this is the harvest of everything else. The feast of ingathering at the year's end, and it's not New Year's, okay? And there's the Hebrew for anyone that reads Hebrew that wants to verify what I'm saying, okay? So we're supposed to rejoice. Renenu tzadikim be'yehovah. Rejoice in Yehovah, ye righteous. And this is the three harvests, the three feasts, which was and which is and which is to come. And that all pertains to Messiah, Mashiach. In the book of Revelation, we see John has a message to the seven churches which are in Asia. That's Asia Minor. He says, Chesed, grace be unto you, and shalom, from him which is Messiah, which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And this Messiah is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith Yehovah, which is and which was and which is to come. He's the Almighty. Just happens to be the Word of God made flesh. You know, when you look back in the book of Genesis, Bereshit, we find the first time it says Sukkot, that in Jacob journeyed to Sukkot, it was his name of a city, and he built him a house, guess what, and he made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of the place is called Sukkot. So that's an interesting shadow of what we're doing, you know. And there it is in the Hebrew right there, Sukkot. So anyway, that was Genesis 33:17. So there's a lot of people running around with their little books and pamphlets, the seven feasts of God, but there's only three feasts. Make sure you understand that. And you can verify that in Exodus 23:14. Three times shall thou keep a feast unto me. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days. As I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month of Ha'aviv. For in it thou came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And these are the feasts that we give an offering to God, by the way. This is one of the feasts. And the feast of harvest, that's the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field. And the feast of ingathering, which is at the year's end of the harvest, when thou hast gathered in thy labors of the field. So three times in the year shall all the males appear before Jehovah, Adonai Yehovah. Okay? I'm going to throw a lot of Hebrew in tonight. I know most of you don't know what I'm saying, but for the people that do, I know you'll find it beneficial. And that's same thing written in Deuteronomy 16:16, okay? And there's the three feasts right there. Remember, we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Everybody got that? Remember, Feast of Weeks it's the Feast of the Harvest, and this one is the Feast of Ingathering. So one of the two feasts have two different names, right? When Messiah died, obviously that was Passover, right? Everybody knows that Messiah was our Passover, and he was buried and rose again, right? During the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that was right in the middle of that is the first fruits, right? And then, of course, he rose from the dead, which is very important to know. Those are the spring feasts. And then, of course, the Feast of Weeks, which is the Feast of Harvest, is when the Holy Spirit came, which is Messiah also. And the way to prove that, you can go to John chapter 14, verse 15. Yeshua says, if you love me, keep my commandments, my mitzvot, and I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. That's what we love. Whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. And then Messiah goes, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And there you have Messiah is also the Spirit of truth, and as opposed to the spirit of error. And of course, finally, we have the last harvest, the Feast of Tabernacles, which we're in right now, Feast of Ingathering. This is when we feel Messiah might come back in someone's lifetime. Yeah, this is when we tabernacle with God. Excuse me. This is when we feel that we're going to end up tabernacling with the Lord. We believe that Messiah is going to come back. We think at the Day of Atonement. And we feel that if you're atoned and ready to meet God, you might be able to tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. And that's what that's all about. And that's why we're doing it. You know, it's not just building a boot in the... We have nothing else to do in our backyard or in our property, but we know why we're doing it. So we believe this is the time that Messiah might come back, and we might just meet him in the clouds, right? He's coming in the clouds. Okay, so we have all that. Now, there's two interesting facts I want to bring to your attention. We have the trumpet of the Jubilee, the Yovel, happens on the Day of Atonement, which I think is very interesting. And then we have the Shemitah, which is the release, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. So we have these two amazing events that are happening on these in the seventh month at this time. The Jubilee is obviously the 50th year on the Day of Atonement. There it is right there, Yovel. It's on Yom HaKippurim. And that says that right there in Leviticus 25. And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee seven times 7 years, and the space of seven Sabbaths of the year shall be unto you 49 years, right? So that's the very important to know. It says, and thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the seventh month in the Day of Atonement. It says, no, I didn't miss a verse. That's 8 and that's 9. It says, and thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the seventh month in the Day of Atonement. Shalt thou make the trumpet sound throughout all the land. And you have to read the whole chapter to get the full meaning, but I wanted to make sure you knew that these two special events were taking place in the seventh month in someone's lifetime, probably in the future. It says, and you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty, which is obviously about Messiah, throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Yovel, a Jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man into his own possession, and ye shall return every man into his unto his family. And there it is right there in Hebrew, okay? And there's the whole, all the verses right there. It says, the year of release, it's the end of seven... And the year of release is the end of every 7 years. Isn't that interesting? On the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's something that we should be thinking about now. And I think a lot of people aren't thinking about it because they're not familiar with Deuteronomy 15 and I think Deuteronomy 31. But we'll read some of that right now. Deuteronomy 15 says, at the end of every 7 years thou shalt make a release. And that's a Shemitah. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lends aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called Jehovah's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. Save when there shall be no poor among you, for Jehovah shall greatly bless thee in the land which Jehovah thy God gives you for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of Jehovah thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. And the fear of the Lord is what makes you do all this. Beware that there be not a thought in your wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thy eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not aught, and he cry unto Jehovah against thee. It shall be sin unto you. Wow. And you can read the whole chapter. I'm just giving you a little bit of each chapter, because I know a lot of people don't compare all these things together, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles with the Yovel and with the Shemitah and all this stuff. Deuteronomy 31:10 says, and Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel has come to appear before Jehovah thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt, this is what we're going to be doing all week. We're going to be reading the Torah before all Israel in their hearing. So if you're with us all week, we're going to be doing what they said to do in Deuteronomy and also Nehemiah. They said the same exact thing. So we are gathering the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear Yehovah your God, and to observe to do all the words of this Torah. And that their children, it says, that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear Jehovah your God, as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. So we're like in the same mode, because we want to learn and hear and fear Jehovah. Yeah. And these words, I don't know about you, but they scare me. Praise the Lord. But we're going to rejoice. We're going to Ranenu Tzadikim BeYehovah. We're going to rejoice in Jehovah, O you righteous. And Psalms has all that rejoicing in it, and I'm sure you love that when you read it. It says, rejoice in Yehovah, you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Rejoice in Yehovah, ye righteous. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And we go to Leviticus right here, 23:40, and this is what we're going to do tomorrow. We'll read it again. We're going to take on the first day boughs of goodly trees. I want to make sure you all get this. We're going to take branches of palm trees, boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook, and we're going to actually rejoice before Jehovah our God 7 days. So, I hope that's part of what you're going to be doing, right? In the book of Nehemiah, we have all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate, and they spoke unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the Torah of Moses, which Jehovah had commanded to Israel. And on the second day was gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the Torah. And just like they did, we're doing the same thing they did. It says, they found written in the law, in the Torah, which Jehovah had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. We found the same thing, right? That they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount. Same thing. We're going to fetch olive branches and pine branches, myrtle branches, palm trees, branches of thick trees. We're going to make booths as it is written. Right? So it's basically any branch you could whip up. And I'm sure you guys, in Tennessee, we got plenty of that, right? Ah. And says, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount. So this is what we're going to do. We try to put a sign up, too. We have a big sign we're going to put up. That's the only thing we do as far as publishing it, because we tried to do that in the past. Didn't mean anything, you know. And we're going to make some booths. And again, you guys know what to go gather now. There's no special branches of, you know, there's no... Just go get some branches, because we'll find out what that's all about in a moment. So these people were obedient, you know. So the people went forth, and they brought them and made themselves boots. And you say, where should I make it? Everyone made them upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God. They even made them in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. Basically, anywhere they could possibly do it. So you might say, well, I don't have a place to do it. Go to a campground. Go to a park. Go somewhere. You know, be creative. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the day of Yeshua, which is Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel did so. And we don't really understand that, because that's over 1,000 years that, you know, Joshua died approximately 2523 in God's time, and there was no booths. It's amazing. Up to Nehemiah. That shows you how so many people fell away, and all the kings of Israel fell away, and only not too many kings of Judah made it either. Anyway, and there was great gladness. That's Simcha Gedolah Ma'od. There was great gladness. Also, from day to day, and from the first day unto the last day, we're going to read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. So we'll be in our sukkah, you know, for 7 days. We'll be reading. Of course, nowadays we're on the internet reading from our sukkah wirelessly from our wireless router or something. You know, I know it's a little different than what they did, but we're trying to gather with everybody. And also from day to day, from the first day unto the last day, we're going to read in the book of the law of God that they may keep the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day, we're going to get together again here because it's a solemn assembly. Just to see everybody and go, Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, it's good to see you. Right? We're going to do the same as above, day by day, like I said. And so you might say, what's so joyful about this? Well, you better remember that you were a bondman in Egypt, and you were a sinner in your last life, and God took you out of that situation and made you a child and, you know, a son and daughter of the living God. That's something to really rejoice about. And this is something to really rejoice about. In Isaiah 43, he says, I am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. There's nothing more important than that. Just to know that your sins are forgiven, I can't think of anything more important than that. My mother was so happy to hear that. She said to me, does God forgive all the sins? I said, yes, all of them. All. And he doesn't remember them against you. He throws them in his sea of forgetfulness, which is found in the book of Micha. But Satan likes to go diving there and bring back your sins to you and make you feel bad, you know. But don't fall for that. He's a loser. We read the rest of the book. We know who wins, right? Yeah. So our sukkah is a shadow of our future home, the sukkot, you know. And in Revelations it says, John heard a loud voice out of heaven saying, and this is what it's all about. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he's going to actually dwell with us. Wow. And we're going to be his people. And God himself is going to be with us and be thou God. Could you imagine that? Could you actually, I can read that, but it's hard to really fathom what that's going to be like. And the book of Isaiah 65 says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, not renewed. It's new. And the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. So we're not going to be worried about or throughout eternity about all the people that didn't make it, because you're not even going to be thinking about that. You'll be so preoccupied with everything in front of your eyes, spiritually, that is. That'll keep you busy forever. I know that sounds, we don't know what forever means, but yeah. It says, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I make shall remain before me, saith Yehovah, so shall your seed and your name remain. And Peter says the same thing he copies from this book of Isaiah. And he says, nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. No more Satan, Hasatan. And of course, John says I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, gone, dissolved, And there was no more oceans, no more seas. There'll probably be something else. The sea of glass mingled with fire. And it's all about Messiah who has eternal life, you know, and you should be happy that, I know you probably, you should think about it every day, I guess. I should think about it more and more. We have eternal life. Eternal life. He says, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what should I do that I should have eternal life? And Yeshua breaks down the whole thing to him. He said, keep the commandments, you know, the commandments. And then, of course, unfortunately, everyone's going to have eternal life because in Matthew 25:46, the ones that didn't obey the covenant and didn't keep the commandments, they can have everlasting punishment. But the righteous, whoever keeps the commandments and does what God says and keeps the feast and knows why they're doing it, we're going to be the righteous. We're going to have life eternal. So there are two sides of the coin, right? You know, if you love your life, you're going to lose it. And if you hate your life in this world, you're going to keep it unto eternal life. And this is life eternal, that you might know the only true God and Yeshua the Messiah, whom he has sent. He sent his word. And whosoever believes on the Messiah shall not perish, but have eternal life. And Yeshua says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me, the Messiah. So you better know when you're reading the Bible that everything you read in the Tanakh and Torah has something to do with the Messiah, from the temple to the menorah to the service of the priests, the Levites, the Nazarene vow, the whole thing. It's all pointing, there's all a spiritual understanding. It's not just the physical. Yeshua says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So on the last day, our bodies that went back to the dust, wherever they may be, it's going to be risen at the last day to meet the spirit that went back to God who gave it, wherever that is. And it is a mystery, and don't try to figure that out, because, you know, Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are you going to go? Because only he has the words of eternal life. Eternal life. I mean, think about that. Yeshua says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Nobody can pluck us out of the Father's hand, right? And he says, him and his Father are one. And this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life. And this life is where? In the Son, in his word, right? He that has the word, the Son, has life. And he that has not the word of God, the Son of God, has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So we want you to believe the true God and his word, right? It says, and we know the Son of God has come. We know the word of God is here, and had given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Yeshua the Messiah. And this is the true God. Eternal life. Praise the Lord. So I don't know, that's pretty clear to me. Is that clear to you? One of the reasons we put branches over the sukkah is because we want Messiah to cover us, protect us, and preserve us in our wilderness, known as our lifespan, our lifetime. Messiah is the branch, and you could find that in Isaiah 4:2. It says, in that day shall the branch, that's Tzemach of Jehovah, be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. So this is a prophecy of Mashiach right there. In Jeremiah, he said, there's a prophecy. It says, in those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness, that Tzemach, Tzedakah, to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. There's another prophecy of Mashiach in the prophets. Of course, in the book of Zechariah, it says, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, Netzer, the branch, Netzer. Now we're going to go into a different word. Okay? In Zechariah 6:12, it says, "Speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh Jehovah Tzavaoth, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, Tzemach, he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of Jehovah." And right now, Messiah is doing that in a spiritual sense. He's building a giant temple, and we're all part of it, and we're all the temple of the living God. We're all part of the temple, and we are temples of the living God. So it is happening. It isn't. He isn't going to physically come back and build some physical structure like Judaism thinks. And here's a play on words, if you can think of any of these. Isaiah 11, which says the branch, which is Messiah, Netzer, and of course, Messiah is from Nazareth, Natsali, right? So look close. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, Netzer, shall go out of his roots." Netzer, a shoot, figuratively a descendant, a branch. So a branch isn't also a branch of a tree, but it's figuratively meaning a branch also of a descendant. And it's Netzer. Don't you think that's interesting? This is a picture of Messiah. Notri. And the word Notri also means Christian, but it also means a Nazarite. But in the book of Numbers, we have this Nazarite separates himself unto Yehovah, which is a picture of Messiah. Yeah, Notri means Christian. Yes. You can look that up in the Hebrew dictionary if you like. Matthew 2:23, "And he shall dwell in a city called Nazareth." That's unusual, isn't it? "That it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." And if you try to find in the prophets that he's called a Nazarene, you'll never find it in the English. But if you look in the Hebrew, you'll find Netzer, Notri, you'll find these different words that have the similar sound. It says, "We have found," and these people, when they found Apostle Paul, they were very upset at him. They said, "We have found this man, a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, a ringleader of the sect of the Notri, of the Christians." Nowadays, of course, Mashiachi also means Messiah follower. We're Mashiachim, but we're also Notri, which is a Christian, which is a... No, Messiah follower is Mashiachi. Christian is Notri in Hebrew, okay? That's the way you say it. But a Messiah follower is totally different. Anyway, back to Isaiah 11. "The Spirit of Jehovah shall rest upon him." So if you stop for a moment, you'll see three right there. Okay? Three. We have the Spirit of Yehovah, which is two, is going to rest upon the Messiah. Three. And then we're going to have the seven spirits, right? We have the Spirit is going to rest upon him. We have the Spirit of wisdom. We have the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of Jehovah. There's seven spirits right there, okay? Because it's the Spirit of God. There's the Spirit of wisdom, two, understanding, three, counsel, four, might, five, knowledge, six, and fear, seven, right? "And ye shall make Messiah of quick understanding in the fear of Jehovah. And Messiah shall not judge after the sight of his eyes." He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither shall the Messiah judge after the hearing of his ears. How's he going to judge? Just like the way we should judge, with righteousness. And how do you know what's righteous? By the word of God, right? Shall Messiah is going to judge the poor and reprove with equity, which is truth, the meek of the earth. "And he, Messiah, shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth," which I believe is the word of God, "and with the breath of his lips shall Messiah slay the wicked." Amen. And I'm sure a lot of the word of God slays the wicked. "And the righteousness shall be a girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of Messiah's reins." So this is all about the Messiah if you read this in Isaiah 11, which is really important. And this is a picture of peace. Obviously, if you see a wolf dwell with a lamb, right? And you see a leopard lie down with a kid, that's a, you know, animal, "and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." You know that's symbolic of peace, right? Otherwise, there would be, in the natural, that would be turmoil, right?
Yeah.
It says the cow and the bear shall feed. That would never happen. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Total peace and tranquility when Messiah is around. And the suckling child shall play in the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den, which is, all these are impossible to do when, you know, in the natural. They shall not hurt nor destroy my all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of Yehovah as the waters cover the sea. And you're saying that on Pow Talk? Oh, okay. Let's make sure. Yeah, we want to make sure even the video is having sound. Let me get off the mic. Can anyone hear me? No, no one could hear me. Okay, let me get off. Okay, I'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. And we want to make sure the recording is working. Let me get rid of this. Looks like the video is still working. And we'll jump back in the room real quick. Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay, good. I'm sorry. And if I'm going too fast, I know this is a lot of information for people that are brand new. I apologize, but I know the people here are, if you're feeling tired, please stand up, because I really don't want to look at people, you know, passing out in front of me. Drink some water, stand up, and I know it's not late. It's only, what time is it? Like 7:10 to 8. Please. So anyway, it says right here, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of Yehovah as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of Jehovah as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign for the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, the nations. And of course, and his rest shall be glorious, Messiah's. And this is all about the Messiah, which he already accomplished. Okay? It says in John 12:13, they took branches of palm trees, and they went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of Yehovah, right? And if I don't know if anyone lately has read John chapter 7, but it even mentions the feast 7 times, which is very important. Chapter 7 of Gospel of John. After these things, Yeshua walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. And it says the Jews' feast of Tabernacle was at hand. And it's not really, the only reason they're saying the Jews' feast is because obviously, the Roman Empire wasn't keeping it, right? Okay. It says, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that disciples also may see the works that thou do. For there is no man that does anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. Just think, not even Yeshua's brethren believed in him. He had brothers and sisters, they didn't even believe in him. Isn't that terrible? So don't feel so bad if your brothers and sisters don't believe in you. Okay? Then Yeshua said unto them, my time is not yet come. I'm not going to die at the moment, but your time is always ready. You can expire any time. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. And that's why some people hate us, because we testify of this world. Pretty wicked out there. And Yeshua said, they said to him, go up to this feast. He says, I go not yet up to the feast of Tabernacles. My time is not yet come. But when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up to the feast of Tabernacles. Here's Yeshua going to the feast of Tabernacles. And the reason why he was going to Jerusalem, because there was a temple there, right? And he didn't do it openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, oh, he's a good man. Others said, I don't know, I think he deceives the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for the fear of the Jews. Isn't that terrible? Now about the midst of the feast, Yeshua went up into the temple and taught. And the only reason he was there, because it was a temple, right? In the last day, which is the eighth day, the great day of the feast, which is in Leviticus 23:36, Yeshua stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Wow. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard these sayings, said, of a truth, this is the prophet, the one that was we read about in Deuteronomy. And there it is right there, Deuteronomy 18:15, Jehovah thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. Back to John. Others said, wait a minute, I think he's the Messiah, the Mashiach. But some said, shall Messiah come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said, Messiah cometh of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was born, where David was? I think they didn't really read the scriptures, because in Psalms it says that Jehovah had sworn in truth unto David that he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of David's body will Messiah sit upon his throne. And that's a prophecy of Messiah right there in Psalm 132. And of course, they should have known this verse right here in Micah 5:2, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, Bethlehem, which means house of bread, though thou be little among the thousands of Yehuda, yet out of thee shall Mashiach come forth unto me, that shall be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old. They're from everlasting. So here, this is the Messiah right there, that he was going to be in Bethlehem, right? But you have to know the prophecies of Mashiach, right? The reason I am showing you these things is because I don't want to be tricked into Judaism's doctrine and persuasions, right? You don't want to be tricked into their persuasions. These things below, I believe, were created over an active imagination, which leads to lying and adding and diminishing from the Word of God. Remember, if you're doing anything that's not written in the Word, and that means like scripture or ornaments you wear, or anything that's not explicitly tells you what to wear and how to wear it and where to wear it and what it is, you're adding to the Word without, you know, you can't do that. You have to do what the Bible says. So these people in Judaism, they really try to give you the business. And they have this something, I don't know if you're familiar with something called groupthink. Yeah, groupthink is a term coined by a social psychiatrist, Irving Janis, in 1972. Occurs when a group makes faulty decisions because group pressures lead to deterioration of mental efficiency, reality testing, and moral judgment. In other words, you're not allowed to question nothing. You just go along what everybody says. Groups affected by groupthink ignore alternatives and tend to take irrational actions that dehumanize other groups. A group is especially vulnerable to groupthink when its members are similar in background, when the group is insulated from outside opinions, and when there is no clear rules for decision making. In other words, basically the dictator or somebody runs the show and you just don't ever question nothing. Question everything. Judaism, they made up something called false species. The first thing you should say is, where does it say that in the Word? And they made up something called a mitzvah for the lulav. And I erased all the stuff I had here because I figured that might be too much for the people that don't know what I'm talking about. But in Judaism, they got people doing this right now. You know, making the whole lulav thing and the false species and the whole song and dance. So anyway, the main thing you should say is, where does it say that in the Word, right? Like Judaism makes a big deal. They make up this thing called the Etrog and the Lulav and the Hadas and Ararav, you know. And basically it's just a palm branch, a myrtle branch, a willow, and a citron. And they make a big deal about it. It's like a giant lemon, right? And I don't know if you want me to read all this to you because it might put you to sleep. But if you want to read about all the fallacies of Judaism, just follow this study down. About the what they call this. One thing I do want to read to you is I'm not going to read to you all this what they say all these things represent because they're all made up, okay? And you could read all this stuff later, but I do want to make sure you be careful of this right here. Let's see. It's sad to say the four species are held in hand by the Jews in Judaism, and they recite a blessing waving the species in six directions. And they go east, south, west, and north, up and down, to symbolize that God is everywhere. The four species also are held during the Hallel prayer. But anyway, I don't want to give you too much Judaism, because I'm not teaching Judaism here. But you can read all this stuff here. But I do want you to be careful of, let's see here. I want you to be careful of this. This right here. The Ushfizin, which is the guest. And be careful about Judaism. They have a thing, an actual like spiritualism kind of Kabbalistic kind of thing here, that some Jews recite the Ushfizin prayer, which symbolizes the welcoming of the seven exalted guests into the sukkah. These Ushfizin, that's an Aramaic word, represent seven shepherds of Israel. And that's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Aaron, David, Moses and David. According to the made-up tradition, each night different guests come into your sukkah. Could you imagine that? Spirits of these people come in your sukkah. That's a pretty scary thought. And they make all this up. And of course, I don't want to give you guys too much of this false stuff, but you might hear some of this stuff. Don't fall for it. Each of the Ushfizin has a unique lesson which teaches the parallels of spiritual focus of the day on which they visit. Baloney. And of course, the women had to get into the act. You know, the women weren't going to let that slide. Nowadays, they have a list of women that come and visit you, too, like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Leah, Miriam, Deborah, Esther, Ruth, Tamar, and others. That's stupid. That is such spiritualism and, something you should all stay away from, because it's the only one we want to be with us is God, to preserve us, right? That's why we're putting the branches over our tent, or if you build a sukkah, you want the branch all over it, right? But they actually do stuff like this. So watch out for false teachers. Watch out for false messianic teachers that follow Judaism. Watch out for false messianics that follow the Karaites. Watch out for Protestant Gentile teachers which follow messianics that follow the Karaites or the messianics or Judaism. And this, what I'm trying to say is they're all following each other. And if the blind follows the blind, where do they go? They all go in the ditch together, right? And if anyone charges you to be in their sukkah, forget that. Some people are charging people money to go to the big sukkah they built. So that's another game. And you could read all, of course, I'm sure most of the people on the net already heard that some people did the new moon many other days, which is wrong. They're calling it New Year, which is wrong. They're calling it Adam's birthday, which is wrong, because nobody would know that. They're calling it when the earth was created, that's wrong. They're calling it Tishrei, which is wrong. Tishrei says on the Day of Atonement you can fast, and Judaism says on the Day of Atonement you can fast, and that is sufficient to take away your sins. I only read in the Day of Atonement, what do you need? The blood sacrifices. It never says that. So everything Judaism has is wrong. Just think of that. And these are brilliant people. Think about that. Well, I mean, think about the riches they have in the communities and the hospitals and the universities. And they're all doing the wrong thing. All the above are lies, which boils down to sin. So beware of the mess, this whole mess, and I'm not going to read all that to you. Anyway, moving along, here's the truth. The truth is this, very simple. On the first day, which is the first day, which happens to be a Sabbath, on the daytime hours, so you can see what you're doing. I mean, if you want to go tonight, I mean, you have to bring a flashlight. But I mean, during the daytime hours, you might have more luck. We're going to get, guess what we're going to do? We're going to get boughs of goodly trees. Branches of palm trees. We're going to get boughs of thick trees. Willows of the brook, if we can find them. And we're going to rejoice before Yehovah God 7 days. We might even try to find some olive branches or pine branches or myrtle branches or palm trees or branches of thick trees. I read all this stuff. I don't know where they get four species from. I mean, I read all kinds of stuff to you. But Judaism only picks four and they make a big deal about it. I mean, I don't know if you watch some. So you could go look on the internet, YouTube, and see about the lulav, how nutty they are. who's got the biggest citron and who's, you know, it's so crazy. So anyway, you can see how simple it is by just reading the Word of God and the correct understanding, and you can get all the answers from the Bible, right? From everything you're trying to do. So I know I must have spoke very fast, but I hope you got something out of the study tonight. So the Sukkah is basically what we try to do when we're in it. We remember our brothers and sisters from the past, how God preserved them, kept them alive, right? We think about the present, how we want God to preserve us and keep us alive and be with us. And we think about, of course, the future, how we want to tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. That's what these branches all represent on our Sukkah, okay? And we don't make a hole in it to see the stars and all that stuff like Judaism. But anyway, I wanted to make sure you know that there's many references to the Feast of Tabernacles. Of course, in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, we got them in two different places, Deuteronomy, got them in Ezra, we got them in Zechariah, we got them in John. So it's not just an isolated thing. And we see Yeshua was doing it and his disciples. So if you're a member of Yeshua and his disciples, probably something you should be looking into, right? Because these are the feasts of Yehovah, and it's something you should partake. Now, I'll open the room for some questions, and I know I spoke very fast, and this is not the way I try to do a study. I try to be a little more, as you guys know, sometimes on the Sabbath, I speak a little slower like this mode, and I try to say things slower because it's daytime where everyone is like wide awake, which I don't know why you'd be sleepy now. It's only 8:20, unless you went to work today. Did you go to work today?
No.
But did you go to work?
No.
But yeah. Well, I don't say how my body feels. If I told you how it feels, you know, you probably wouldn't like that. But I stand here erect, and I stand here firm, and I rejoice in the Lord. And yeah, I'm here tonight. So praise the Lord. But anyway, it is the Feast of Tabernacles. It is the Feast of Ingathering. It is a Sabbath, and it's a Mikra Kodesh. And I thank God for another Sabbath, our 13th year, Father. We thank and praise you that we're even here again doing it. We wish we were with you in eternity, tabernacling with you. But we know it's more fruitful and prosperous to be down here to try to convey this message to people to clear up the confusion with Judaism and some messianics that just will not get it straight by just reading the Word because they got the wrong Bible. But Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord and God, for this evening. Bless the brothers and sisters as they travel home or wherever they're going. And bring us back together tomorrow during the daytime hours. And we'll be building our Sukkah, Lord and God, with the true understanding of why we're doing it and what it stands for. Bless and anoint everyone. Heal us all. Strengthen us all. I pray you'll give us the weather to do it, Lord and God. We do enjoy your rain, but we'd like to put up our Sukkah, and you're very aware of that. Bless and anoint the rest of this evening and tomorrow, Lord willing, and we'll meet you again, Father. And I thank you, brothers and sisters, for being here tonight. Shabbat shalom, and I'll open the room. Does anyone have any questions or any comments? And if I spoke too fast, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to go too quick, but if there's so much to tell you about the Yovel and the Shemitah, and the release, and the Feast of Tabernacles, and there's so many things to tell you, but I figure tomorrow might be a little bit better. But anyway, Shabbat Shalom. Let me stop that, and let me stop. That's okay. I was talking pretty low.